interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. For the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here's a strange one. How do you like this headline from Fox News? Service lets you video chat with dead people. A new startup from MIT's Entrepreneurship Development Program is offering eternal life via the virtual world. This service is called Eterna.me. That's E-T-E-R-N-I, Eterna.me. It's designed a way to digitally reconstruct a person's personality after they die so that the dearly departed are able to, quote, communicate from beyond the grave. To get started, users provide the service with access to online activities like chat logs, social network accounts, photos, emails. They glean information and use it to stitch together a digital portrait and an avatar that's capable of communicating with friends and loved ones after a person dies. They use some complex artificial intelligence algorithms, says the website, that creates this virtual you. And this is an avatar that emulates your personality and can interact with and offer information and advice to your family and friends after you pass away. It's kind of like a Skype chat from the past. They went live with this, and in less than 24 hours, the site got 36,000 page views and 1,300 email registrations. It's kind of creepy, but sure enough, what they're trying to do is capture some part of the information fingerprint, information profile that is you, and give you immortality. That sounds a little creepy, don't you think? Welcome to the program that gives you insight on these strange and often creepy topics. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest. Connor, good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. I have a problem with them saying they went live with it on this date.
Waka Waka, yes.
I don't know. That's just kind of creepy.
Well, you know, it seems to me that if they're taking all this information about you and then turning it into some type of a personality that is going to represent you to other people after you're dead, it would be very easy for somebody to go in and manipulate that and play with it just a little bit. Sure. And give all your relatives really crappy advice.
Well, it's just like, let's say you're a financial whiz and like you've given great stock advice and all this stuff to people over your lifetime, and you kick it. And then let's say Aunt Edna wants some financial advice, and someone's like manipulated so that that your avatar gives them advice to buy in their company.
Well, yeah, and of course now that would be that's a good example, I suppose, of it being important. But most people are probably not that important, frankly.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is anyone like the world's greatest minds doing anyone of significance going to do this?
Maybe eventually, but for now, I'm thinking if you're lucky, you might get granddad's favorite fishing hole or something like that. I mean, I'm just not sure how significant some of these algorithms could be to actually capture something like that. But it is an important and interesting topic because, you know, just before we went on the air, we were having a little conversation here with investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop about people who play this game called Second Life. And I've never played Second Life. I know a lot of people who do. And Shelley, you were saying that for many of these people, it seems like that they connect with their little digital avatar so much that it's truly a part of them, isn't it?
It is. It seems to be. I can't imagine being on the computer that long. But that's... It's so lifelike.
See, to me, those people would be like the prime candidates to do this because they already have made that initial leap into taking some part of their personality and putting it into a fictional character. Now, obviously, I think the problem there is that when people play the Second Life game, they are creating a fantasy character, which is probably nothing or very little like they are in real life. But still, they have connected their minds to a digital representation. And so I think those folks should be the first people to take advantage of this concept and start kind of creating an avatar just like they did with Second Life. But now this time it's an avatar of themselves and make it as accurate as possible. And those will be some of the very first people who are going to be digitally living once they die. That makes sense to me, but the whole thing is still pretty weird because, you know, it gets into this, like, conundrum about what is intelligence? What's that line between humans and machines and, you know, the whole Terminator argument, right? I don't know. Oh, well. So, Shelley, how are things going at Wright's Coin Shop? It's been cold and it's been dreary where you are. It's been snowy, and I'm still here in the Bermuda Triangle in Puerto Rico, but we've actually had some problems just getting together to get the radio show done because of weather recently.
We have, but at the coin shop, it has been very, very busy. I have been running my legs off. I have got blisters on my fingers from putting coins in holders and working up new stock and putting it out, and we are so busy right now.
So people are getting out in the bad weather to go to your shop, huh?
They are. Yeah. They need coins, and they're very, very concerned about what's going on in the world, and they don't like it. So they're coming in, and they're trying to make the most of their money, make the most of their monopoly money.
Well, you know, again, here I am. I'm in Puerto Rico. Every day it's in the 80s. At night it's in the 70s. It's breezy. It feels great. I'm having a hard time just imagining that it's still, you know, winter up there where you guys are. And to top it all off, I have been, I've been eating an exotic creature down here. And you know about this forest.
Yes.
Now, a part of me, I've never been the kind of guy who really just goes out looking to eat something nasty.
Yes,
I'm not like
you
an Andrew. Well, I've never eaten anything that's been, like, super gross. I mean, I've never eaten anything that's alive.
Okay, you haven't eaten anything that's alive. Like, well, okay, yeah, that while I'm eating scorpion it. Thing, was that alive?
No, that was dead. It had been soaking in tequila.
Yeah.
I've never eaten a worm.
That's good. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever eaten an insect knowingly.
Ew, that's good. But you
they say we all eat them from time to time. We don't know it.
Cereal and such. But there was that horrid fruit that you brought in to us in the studio one night. What was the name of that?
It was called durian.
What is it again? Durian fruit.
Durian. That was disgusting.
Well, it actually, you know, it smelled disgusting, but it kind of tasted all right.
Let me tell you guys, here is the newest thing.
It didn't taste as bad as it smelled.
Although it was pretty darn disgusting, and I ate more of it than you did.
Well, since I've been down here in Puerto Rico, I have heard that there are people on this island who like to eat iguanas. And, you know, the iguanas down here can be quite large. I mean, several feet long. They are actually considered invasive species. There actually is one type of iguana that's native to this area that lives mainly on Mona Island, which is off the west coast. But in the 1950s, people started buying iguanas as pets. And we know what happens when people get pets and they let them run loose. And iguanas now, they are plentiful here. They're considered kind of a nuisance. You see them everywhere. And it's not common, though, for people to eat them. I hear that people eat them, but I've been looking for over a year now for a piece of iguana. I just wanted to try it out because I heard all kinds of mixed reviews about iguanas. I do know, however, that somewhere, I think around maybe San Juan, there is a factory that is actually raising iguanas and butchering them specifically to send to Asia for restaurants there. So I've just sort of had like a little, you know, notice out there, a little APB for my friends. If you come across an iguana that's going to be dined upon, I would like to know about it. I'd like to experience this. And I guess, again, for a year or so, or almost a year, my great friend Ida down here, who is a swashbuckling woman of adventure, she has kept a lookout for me. And so Ida contacted me, and she said, guess what I found? Ida had gone to visit her friend Luigi up around Mayagüez, which is a short distance from where I am here in Boca Raton. And earlier that day, Luigi's friends had been outside and found a big, gigantic iguana running around. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Somebody pulled out a machete and they chopped its head off. And I know that there are people listening to the show who are iguana lovers who are going to say, horror! But they did it, okay? They didn't do it for me, but they killed the iguana. And then they stripped this thing down, they skinned it, and they prepared it. And I got to eat some of it. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you my honest review about what it was like to eat a freshly killed iguana here in Puerto Rico. And then, gosh, there's so much more we're going to talk about on the show tonight. New USO stuff. UFOs that are coming out of the sea. There is some groundbreaking footage that I'm going to tell you about. And do you know that I'm in a new movie? I'll be on the big screen next month. Amazing. You'll find out about that and a ton of strange news. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, keeping you company tonight. Thanks for sharing your evening with us. And I just have so much weird stuff to talk about. We're just going to keep hammering away at this and see how much we can get through. I mean, again, brand new exclusive footage of a USO. Okay, we're talking about a UFO actually in the process of coming out of the ocean. We're going to talk about that and how you can see it. I'm going to tell you about some new UFO information related to the Edward Snowden leaked documents. There's just a lot of bizarre stuff happening right now. And keep in mind, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you can find a live chat during the show, more information on topics discussed, links to all kinds of interesting things that we talk about, including the haunted Asheville ghost tours designed by me. We also have some ghost hunts. And right now we still have our special going on. It's just for March. We're going to end this in April. 50% off ghost hunts if you go to hauntedasheville.com. 50% off ghost hunts. That means what usually costs $40 will now cost you $20. So take advantage of that. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com right now, you will see a photograph of a skinned iguana. It's not a pleasant thing to look at, but you'll see that as well as a link to a video of me on YouTube, because Ita and her friend Luigi managed to, get a hold of a fresh iguana and get this thing in the pot and fix it properly. I mean, and so I said, Ida, you got to get me a piece of this. So Ida comes back and she brings me a good little portion of this iguana meat. And again, this had already been prepared. It just looked kind of like, you know, typical brownish meat. It actually looked kind of beefy. And so I took my first bite of it. And I can't believe I'm telling you this, but it was one of the most delicious meats I've ever tasted. I was not expecting that at all. I mean, I've eaten other reptiles, I've eaten alligators, I was trying to think, I don't know if I've eaten a snake or not, but anyway, this tasted, you know how people say, oh, it tastes like chicken. Well, that's not true. This didn't taste like chicken. It tasted like a very tender, well-seasoned roast. It had a nice, beefy flavor, and it was not chewy, didn't have any kind of a weird texture. In fact, it had a texture that was kind of like veal. I mean, they'd done an excellent job preparing it. And, you know, all I had to do was take one little bite in order to say, okay, I've eaten iguana. I, on the other hand, chose to clean the bone. Okay, the section that I was eating was a section that had part of the back legs and part of the tail. And I literally stood up there for, you know, 5 minutes and gnawed all the meat off till I was right down to the bone on this thing. And it was that good. So I feel like, you know, again, I have a lot of friends who would think, oh, this is horrible, they're vegetarians and whatnot. But the reality is, there are people on this island who are eating these iguanas, and they didn't kill it for me. They killed it for themselves. I ate a piece of it, and it was so good that it makes me feel even more confident that I'll never starve down here in Puerto Rico. So does that surprise you, Forrest, that iguana would taste the way I described it?
Well, I figured, I mean, I've had alligator meat before, and I figured it'd taste similar to gator meat. But evidently, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Gator actually does taste a little more like chicken.
Right. I think gator tastes like something like a greasy chicken.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good description. And so I don't know why that the iguana has such, you know, like a rich, beefy flavor, but I can see easily why this would be a delicacy. And I can tell you that if I sat down at a restaurant and they had iguana on the menu, I would have no qualms about ordering it to eat.
Okay.
So, yeah. So,
I mean, I'd try it.
Oh, of course you would, yeah. And you would love it, I'm sure. You know, anybody who enjoys beef, you know, would like iguana, except I bet this is far, far healthier than beef would be for you. So, very cool that I got to have that experience now and add another little notch to my my culinary resume. Speaking of culinary resumes, let's jump to a McDonald's story, shall we? We always love McDonald's stories. Here is one from California. A McDonald's man is angry. They say that the Golden Arch has a new enemy. This guy is suing McDonald's for $1.5 million. Why? Because he only got one napkin with his meal.
A horror.
He claims after he got his quarter pound deluxe, he went up to the counter to ask for more napkins. He was rudely rebuffed, and the manager insisted he already got some. And according to the lawsuit, this man is black, and he says that some racist sort of comments were made, what he perceived to be racist, something to the effect of, you know, something about you people. After that, this man claims that he was unable to continue working due to the undue mental anguish, that's a quote, that he was suffering as a result of the napkin debacle.
What did this guy order?
He ordered a quarter pounder deluxe.
Okay, I mean, if it was a McRib or something along those lines, I can understand if he might need another napkin, I mean, because they're messy.
Right, right. Well, in this case, he said they offered him more free burgers to apologize, but he was insulted by this.
Uh-huh.
So that's why he instead is asking for $1.5 million from McDonald's. Well, we'll see. I mean, if that works, I'll get right in line behind him. They do a lot of weird things here at McDonald's in Puerto Rico. Well, you know, here... There's a sandwich called the Chicken Mac. Have I talked about this before?
You've told me about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you told Shelley about it or not.
Yeah, I know. I've heard about the Chicken Mac.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I brought it up on the radio. When C. Eric Scott was down here, he saw the sign for the Chicken Mac and became so excited that he decided maybe it was a good idea. Well, he'll say that it was my idea. Okay, however, we decided it was a good idea to shoot an unboxing video where he buys the thing and I film him opening it and he's talking about it and flipping through the layers and describing what's on it, and then he eats the Chicken Mac and tells us his review. It's kind of like me eating the iguana. And he says the Chicken Mac, which is just exactly like a Big Mac, except instead of beef patties, it's fried chicken patties, that these are so good that he says they're better than a regular Big Mac, and that he misses them, and he would eat them all the time if they had them back in the States. So I didn't try one out, though. You know, I stick strictly with iguanas now. Let's see here. Oh, my goodness. It's already break time. Okay. We'll go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, let's go to a story here, speaking of a lot of money, about what a girl posted. I'm talking like a teenage girl here on Facebook that has cost her family $80,000. If you have kids, you might want to hear this one. And then also a new cocktail that's apparently sweeping some areas made of hand sanitizer. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
We'll be right back. and calm the clouds, but all the stars are smiling for me. And all is well and will is God for all, forever after. Maybe in the meantime when I see,
Joshua P. Warren. And, you know, let me tell you, obviously I travel around a lot, and I'm always investigating things and trying to solve mysteries. Here's a mystery I haven't figured out yet. Ask yourself if you would like to have a few thousand more dollars in your pocket right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If you'd taken my advice a year ago and you had purchased a Sunshine Simple solar generator for your home and used it every single day, you would actually have a few thousand dollars more in your pocket, depending on how much electricity you use. And I don't understand why there are people who may be listening to this show who have not gone to sunshinesimple.com and looked at the free video there. As a matter of fact, we just updated the website, sunshinesimple.com. We're expanding our products being offered there. And the great thing is there's a payment plan. So even if you don't have $1,495, and that's what we're talking about, it costs $1,495 to buy one of these things. There's a payment plan. Now, it also costs $150 to ship it to you. But right now, we are still offering our free shipping and handling promotion. Now, before, I've told you that I wasn't sure how long we were going to be able to offer this because, you know, the economy's changing, shipping costs are going up, and we got a bunch of people who emailed us and said, please, please, you know, continue the free, let me order with the free shipping and handling. So we've kept it up there. I don't know how much longer we're going to do this. Frankly, we might do it another week and then just cancel it. So I'm giving everybody a heads up. If you want to get a Sunshine Simple solar generator for your home, and right now I know a lot of people who are without power because of these ice storms, and it doesn't matter if you're dealing with that or you're going to deal with other types of storms in the summertime, or if you just want to save money every day, save yourself $150 in shipping and handling if you're going to get one by getting one right now. Go to sunshinesimple.com, watch the video, and place your order. And this time in a month, you'll be amazed at how much you've saved on your power bill. And in a year, you'll say, this was ridiculous that I waited this long. I should have done this 2 years ago. So, I mentioned that speaking of money, how would you like it if you lost $80,000 because of something that your girl, your little daughter, posted on Facebook? And it just goes to show, as an example here, how you have to be careful with what is released through social media in this day and age. The girl was bragging about her father's discrimination settlement on Facebook, writing something to the effect, and I'm not going to use all the specific names, Mama and Papa won the case against blank, and blank is now officially paying for my vacation to Europe this summer. Suck it, end quote. However, her father there had filed a discrimination complaint. It was actually an age discrimination complaint after his contract wasn't renewed. But in the settlement, they signed a confidentiality agreement. And so, because of his daughter writing this on Facebook, obviously the confidentiality agreement was breached. And so now it looks like the family is not going to receive that $80,000 after all.
So for her vacation now.
Right. And that's what, you know, a lot of times I'll work on deals. I sign contracts all the time for one reason or another, whether it's products or books or some TV project. And people get frustrated when I can't tell them exactly what's happening. But, you know, you got to take these confidentiality agreements seriously. In fact, that reminds me that we're going to try to have new Speaking of Strangers for you as often as possible this month, barring weather issues and possible ball games, I guess. I'm not keeping up with the ball game schedule. But I am going to be traveling to do an event with George Norrie later this month. It's called George Norrie Live. It's going to be in Boise, Idaho on March 22nd. And we're still going to try to have a new Speaking of Strange for you if we can that week. We'll try to record it before I go to Boise. I'm going to be at this big, huge theater with George Norrie and Jim Mars and Stanton Friedman. And they're going to have a big, you know, like stage set up to look, I think, kind of like George's living room. And so one by one, George is going to bring us out, and I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but guess what George Norrie is going to do in between on these segments? Do you have any idea what he's going to do, Forrest?
No, I don't. I don't want to get myself in trouble.
He's going to sing.
What?
George Norrie is going to sing. So basically, if you're listening to Coast to Coast AM,
what's he going to sing?
I don't know. and there is a there's a, you know, a commercial break, and maybe you have bumper music or whatever. I guess when it's George Norrie live, instead of it being pre-recorded music, Norrie's going to sing. And I just recently found this out. And I mean, I hope this isn't a secret. I wasn't told this was a secret. I guess it's not a secret anymore. Norrie is going to grab the microphone, and I guess he's a crooner.
Is he going to do this in like Frank Sinatra style? Like, is he going to do some like Middle Eastern music, like contemporary music? What's he going to do?
I don't have a clue. I almost don't want to know because I want it to be a nice big surprise for me as well.
Can you? Is there any way you can like take your phone and record that?
Possibly. You know, I'll be backstage. I'll probably get some perks. They'll let me maybe record some things. And also, I thought about this. I thought, man, should I have, like, brought my theremin or something to this thing? I could contribute. But no, George probably wouldn't like that because I imagine that...
You're staging him.
Well, the theremin might not match with the magnificence of his vocals. Because the theremin's a very strange instrument, you know. Things can go well or poorly. Are you there, Forrest?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, I'm in Puerto Rico, and I just heard a strange little noise on the line. So I got to check once in a while to make sure that we're broadcasting still. We're thousands of miles away. I, right now, for all of you listening, I'm thousands of miles away from Forrest and Shelley. They are in Asheville. I'm here in Puerto Rico. But anyway, after I do George Norrie Live, supposedly I'm going to fly directly from there to New Mexico, where I will be interviewed for a television special. And it's, again, it brings me back to this concept of non-disclosure stuff, because I can't talk about what the TV special's about. But it seems like it's going to be a really cool special. And I've been doing TV long enough to know that you don't really talk about any of this stuff until it airs, because you don't know what's going to make it and what's not, and whether or not the government's going to come in and shut something down, because this is kind of a controversial subject. But anyway, I'll be doing that stuff. And then... just, I may as well go ahead and toss it out there now that we're talking about TV appearances. I said earlier, I'm actually going to apparently be on the big screen in April in a new motion picture. And this, well, I'll tell you a bit about the story of how this happened. In 2011, I was contacted by a director named Maddie Beckerman. And he told me that he was working on a movie produced by Lawrence Bender. And Lawrence Bender is a big Hollywood producer. He produces all of Quentin Tarantino stuff, for one thing. Right. And he said that this was going to be a movie about people being abducted by aliens at Brown Mountain, where, of course, the Brown Mountain lights occur. So he came and interviewed me for this project at my museum, and then I never heard anything else about it. And then I was contacted a few weeks ago, and now this movie is going to be released. It's going to be called Alien Abduction. It's going to be on the big screen, apparently, all over the U.S. I'm not sure how I'm going to watch it down here in Puerto Rico. But he told me that I'm in the movie, like in the opening, talking about the Brown Mountain phenomenon. So hopefully this is going to be a kick-ass movie, Alien Abduction. And you know what? I was contacted by Ed Phillips, who does the tourism there in Burke County. And he is trying to see if locally, there in Western North Carolina, this movie, Alien Abduction, can be premiered at the nice theater they have in Morganton. So, who knows? We'll see, but it's just another example of all the projects that are just spiraling and swirling all around us. 2014 is turning into a really good year. So, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you some more strangeness. Hand sanitizer cocktails. And have you heard what North Korea has done with their space program? I'm Joshua P. Warren. You'll be safe. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year. Enchantment, Puerto Rico, hiking and hitchhiking the ET highway. I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. In the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's show, can you believe that? Amazing how quickly this is going to fly by tonight. And remember, tonight's show brought to you by sunshinesimple.com, the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price. Go there right now to sunshinesimple.com, and maybe you can save $150 on your shipping and handling before we remove that promo. Here's a story from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Authorities say a man stole 12 bottles of hand sanitizer from a central Pennsylvania hospital so he could mix it with orange juice and drink it for the alcohol it contained. The 51-year-old man has been mailed a summons requiring him to surrender on charges of theft and receiving stolen property. They say that he hid these bottles in an arm sling he was wearing. And they say he returned to steal more of these things twice in December. The guy says, quote, "I mix the liquid with orange juice and make the best cocktails ever," end quote. Ugh. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
Ew.
Pretty desperate. Here's a story from North Korea. Now, obviously, we know how insane the media and everybody else apparently seems to be there in North Korea. You might have heard this. We haven't gotten a chance to report it until just now. North Korea apparently announced that they've landed a man on the sun.
Really?
17-year-old Hung Tu Gong.
Hung Tu. Tu Hong.
I'm sure this is a legitimate story, by the way. This couldn't be a hoax, could it? took his journey traveling alone to reach our nearest star. North Korean Central News anchorman said during his live broadcast, quote, "We are very delighted to announce a successful mission to put a man on the sun. North Korea has beaten every other country in the world to the sun. Hung Tu Gong is a hero and deserves a hero's welcome when he returns home." They say that he was traveling in the cover of darkness to protect himself from from the harsh and extreme temperatures of the sun. He's bringing back some sunspot samples for his uncle. And this is supposedly, they say, the greatest human achievement of our time. Took about 18 hours to get there and 18 hours to come back. So congratulations.
So Tu Hong was going in darkness. Was he like shadowing Mercury as he was heading it into Tu Hong was heading into the sun?
Yeah, I think he was planet hopping, you know.
Sort of Flash Gordon style? Or?
Yeah, he was just figuring out, you know, whatever dark spots he could bounce to, Frogger style. Until, I guess, at the very end, though, maybe he held an umbrella when he actually landed on the sun. I'm not sure how he shielded himself from that, but North Koreans are very advanced. I'm sure they've figured out a clever way to get around it. Here's a story from Australia about Snoop Dogg. Snoop Doggy Dogg. He's been around a while, huh, Forrest?
Snoop Lion.
Is he Snoop Lion now?
Yes.
He's officially Snoop Lion. He'll always be Snoop Dogg to me.
Yeah.
Apparently, he smoked out his Australian hotel room so intensely that firefighters came to the scene. They believe there was a real fire there. Cops say smoke from an unidentified source triggered a fire alarm, and the firefighters who happened to be in the hotel rushed up to the scene to investigate the situation, saw smoke pouring from under the door. But when they got into the room, they realized it was no fire, just a ton of smoke. Officials will not say if weed was involved.
In other news, Tu Hong just landed in Australia.
That explains it. It's a nice little symmetrical marriage of historical facts that have all converged before us. And then before we wrap up this hour, story from Tampa, Florida. A guy's in trouble there because he has called 911 2,297 times. And when he calls, he just belittles the dispatchers and uses vulgar language. So he's in a lot of trouble, and they say that you can go to prison after calling the sheriff's department or anybody else 2,297 times. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got some breaking news for you about exclusive video footage of a USO emerging from the sea. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.